Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hi, everybody. It's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the show. I'm super excited to always be here with you on Tuesdays. Today, I'm talking to serial entrepreneur, he kind of laughs when I call him that, George Rivera, and we are going to be talking all about not just the relationship that we have with time, but I think what's really going to be powerful for all of you all listening is the story that we tell ourselves that we'll do it later. We'll do it later. It's not the right time. We'll do it later. And we're going to hear from George a little bit about his, not just his business story, but the time shifts that he's had to make and how he's had to manage his calendar so that he can show up more powerfully for things that are really important to him in his life. And these are conversations that I have with a lot of you on a regular basis. So I always welcome to hear a story from someone else, because I think sometimes when we hear it from someone else, there sometimes is something in there that lands much better for us. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Allison. Excited to be here.
Yeah, of course. All right. So you and I were chatting a little bit before we hit record. You've had a supplement company. You've been in the business space for over 30 years. This isn't your first rodeo in terms of like of building things, but you've really kind of had to learn to pivot and innovate and make some shifts of your own. So tell my audience just a little bit about you first.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a 31-year entrepreneur. I started my business back in 1995. I was 17 Same. Years old. That's when dinosaurs used to roam the earth. And
right. No internet, right? Yeah. Barely any internet, right.
Yeah, Prodigy, right. CompuServe. You can hear the dial-up totally. Going, ding dong, ding dong.
Dial-up modem, right?
What was it, 57K yeah. or something? I can't even remember the number, but yeah, the fast one. Yeah. So, the internet was just in its infancy, and I'd started in the in direct response marketing and supplements. And 3 years later, I went online after spending the first couple of years in direct mail, classified ads, some of the offline stuff. And came and stayed online ever since. But I still do a lot of multi-channel marketing. It's something that I don't see a lot of other people doing. Mm-hmm. And 31 years, entrepreneur. Over the last year, I've had a major career change. I feel like God's leading me in a different direction to serve the me of 10 years ago. To kind of explain what that is. It's cash rich, time poor. Mm-hmm. Cash rich just means successful on paper, resourceful, maybe financially and with a great company, but time poor because the business gets all the time, the family gets the leftovers, the burned out, stressed out, frustrated version of dad, of husband.
Yep.
Don't ask me how I know. Actually, we're talking about it. So parallel story to this is in 2015, my dad, he started the year as a practicing medical doctor, his 40th year in his own practice, 67 years old. You know, not a spring chicken, not ancient history either. Yeah. Still had some good runway and looked healthy, but he was diagnosed with cancer and given a few months to live. And a couple of weeks before he passed away, he said something. He said, don't miss Leo's games. I miss too many of yours. And that was like a deathbed statement, deathbed confession.
Kind of sits with you too.
Yeah. And when he said that, I was instantly transported back to my high school gym where I played in about 40 basketball games and he only went to one of them. And you know, at that time I'm like, okay, I'm in high school. Like I've had dozen plus years of getting to know who my dad is. So it's not really shocking, but I guess the perplexing thing is that my teammates, like all their dads were there for all the games, scoring after every basket, like they won the championship.
Right.
And, you know, I do my thing and like there's no dad cheering for me. And I remember looking at another dad just loving on his kid. And I was like, I wish that was my dad.
Yeah.
And that would have like destroyed my dad because he wasn't a bad man, but he was the cash rich, time poor person that I later became. And now I'm looking to serve. So
yeah,
it was nice closure to whatever that was. I'm not a therapist. I don't know how to put language on that. But coming back to the current day of when he's telling me this, I'm like, okay, I have a 9 month old at the time named Leo that he referenced. And I'm missing him learning how to walk and how to talk and missing a lot of first verse. And the sad thing is I can't even tell you what I missed it for. And I'm like, that's my line in the sand moment. We're done. We get the message. We're not going to repeat this.
And sometimes that's what it takes, is to have one of those come to Jesus moments. I got up and something just hit you different, you know?
That's it. Yep. And it finally clicked. And I'm like, got it. But we're going to have to start tomorrow because I'm working 16 hours today. And, you know, so when people say tomorrow, sometimes they mean never. But in my case, it took 3 years. And so 3 years passed by. Dad's long gone. I'm scaling my company to numbers I'd only dreamed about as an entrepreneur. Multiple eight figures per year, printing money, but hating life. And I know hate is a strong word, but there's no other word that can properly explain feeling like your family's being ripped from you or a little piece of your soul.
You were just being driven by the wrong thing at the time. You know, in your mind, you knew it, but it was such a pattern, such a habit for you. It's hard to break those habits.
Yeah. And I built myself what I call the founder prison. You know, I started and built this business for freedom. I'm doing it for the family. And I was trapped and isolated from the family as a result. It's quite crazy. Sometimes it's entrepreneurial journey. Like there's a special kind of crazy that it takes to start these things sometimes.
100%.
But anyway, so yeah, I came to the conclusion, like I want out of this thing. So, let's see, what options do I have? I'm going to burn this thing down or I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
But you can't really sell a business of my size or really any size, quickly. Like sometimes it's a multi-year process. LOIs fail at an 80% rate. That's not going to solve my problem tomorrow.
Right.
But I could burn it down. You know, that'll get me my time back, my family back, maybe some of my sanity back. I can restart a business that's supposedly, you know, reflected the lifestyle that I said I wanted and all that. But not a great idea. I already had a successful business. That's like a hard thing to do. And so I had a coach and a mentor that lovingly walked me off the ledge of like wanting to blow the thing up. And he just said, stop doing what you don't like doing and keep doing what you're good at. And I'm like, 23 years in business, and then it finally clicks.
Yeah.
You know, I had a team of 40 people and I was being the hero to my own company. And you know, there's reasons why we do that and probably for another conversation, but like childhood wounds and trauma, like keep getting approval from a place. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I realized that and I'm like, okay, yeah, this insanity has to stop. So I started doing the work of redesigning my business. It was a massive design flaw that my business had where I was the most important person in the business. I had to like not be.
You were the main driver. You have become the bottleneck too.
Exactly. Yeah. Like approvals, decisions, everything depended on me. So I'd go on vacation or quote vacation and my phone is like stuck to my face while my family's just doing life and I'm missing it, even though I'm quote on vacation. And so that all had to stop. And I started doing the work. And the pinnacle of the transformation is I went from working 90 hour weeks down to zero. Never more than 30 when I wanted to do work, really respected, you know, the calendar structure I had in place. Mm-hmm. Actually doubled my income. I was willing to sacrifice my income, but I actually more than doubled the income. And that was a nice bonus. But the most impressive part, more than the time, more than the money, was that my dad said, don't miss Leo's games. I never missed any of his games, just like my dad told me not to.
Yeah.
In fact, when my son was 8 years old, I taught him how to negotiate real estate. You know, we do Airbnb, single
That's
family
so great.
Homes, land, other assets. And
I love it.
Because when we own a few properties up in northern Michigan. We live in Texas, but we own properties around the country. And we love this place in northern Michigan. And we love our little lake house. We use it as a second home. And this other home came on the market. It was going to be competition for our lake house. And I'm like, oh no, we got competition. I'm like, we're just going to buy it unless the thing's a bundle of sticks, but we got to go look at it. And we look at it. We love it. The realtor gives us, you know, a few minutes to discuss as a family. Do we want to put in an offer? And the old me would have said, son, here's an iPad. There's a couch over there. Knock your socks off and play for a couple hours while the big people do their talking. But I'm like, nope, that's the new me. I'm sorry. That's the old me. This is the new me. Son, you're going to make the offer to the realtor. And I coached them a little bit. I'm like, tell them we're going to close in 30 days. Tell them here's the price we're going to pay. Leave the furniture, leave the dock because we're going to turn this thing around fast now. Go tell the realtor. And he's just like, all right, goes inside the house.
And he's
the realtor.
Learning along, not only learning alongside of you, but he's learning by doing too, which is really the best way to learn any new skill is to just jump in and do it.
It is. And yeah, that's been a huge philosophy for us as a family. And yeah, so he went inside, told the realtor. Realtor's this tall guy, like looking down, little boy. And he's like, close in 30 days, leave the furniture. And he looks at me, doesn't say a word, but his eyes are huge. And he's asking me with his eyes, is that the offer? And I'm like, whippersnapper spoke, that's the offer. And the house. And I love thinking about that from a legacy perspective. Like one day he'll be with his kids and talk about the experiences with grandpa making offers.
Right.
And also like fast forward to current day, like I was telling you earlier, he's got a podcast, interviewed over 150 people. These are founders, entrepreneurs, successful business people. And he's learning how to develop confidence and communicate with other adults. And he's teaching other kids on how to do the same thing. And because like from my dad's words to me, that altered my trajectory. Yeah. And my presence at home altered my son's trajectory. And now he wants to alter trajectories. Trying to say that word as many times as I can in a small, small time period. But coming back to me, so I give men a space to just come open up. I host dinners at my home in Austin. I have men who fly over from anywhere in the world, some from Portugal, from Toronto, and lots from the States that'll come into Austin, most local, but some that'll come in. And I give them a place to come, sit down, talk. We know you're successful, so let's park that side. What's bothering you? And I have men who come in on top of the world and they leave having cried for 30 minutes. And I've written a couple of books. I've been getting my message out on podcasts and speaking from stage because I first had to adopt my dad's message for myself.
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, the world needs to hear this message.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So over
I
the last
think
year,
it's a, I think it's a message that you can't really say enough. So let me just kind of break this up a little bit for our listeners. I want to give people some takeaways because there's a lot here that you've shared. So I want you to talk just a little bit about that come to Jesus, what I call the come to Jesus moment, you know, the line in the sand moment. It's like, what was going through your head other than the fact that, you know, I need to make a change? And, you know, how, walk people through, like you said, it took 3 years. And, you know, for people listening who are trying to make changes, who are trying to prioritize themselves and their families and everything else, like give people like some little bite-sized tips, kind of a behind the scenes of like how you were able to actually do that. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body. This is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there. Right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Yeah. So, you know, the thought process at the moment, you know, after I got like really good closure, I hadn't thought of that experience in decades. And when he told me that instantly, I felt that. I felt being a kid that didn't have their dad. So that was beautiful closure. The other part was seeing this man, happens to be my dad, so that emotional connection with this regret and this lament. And he has no time to change it, no time to make any impact. And just I just saw that this the moment of misery. And I'm like, I do not want to experience that.
Yeah,
like I'm looking at my future. If I don't make a change, that's what's going to come my way.
Yep.
And so I don't know that I literally thought that, but I like felt that. And I'm like, yep, this ends here.
And that's enough. You know, like you said, anytime we feel something, that's feedback for us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, and I said earlier, like it took me 3 years. So like even when the light bulb goes off, doesn't mean that change is going to happen instantly.
Yeah,
sometimes
I love
we
that.
Need something to force us to make the change.
I love that. And I just want to spotlight that for one quick second, because I talk a lot about being intentional with your habits and your choices. And that goes back to my fitness background. But
when you talk about the fact that it doesn't happen overnight, we live in a world where we're expected that everything happens quickly. It's like, well, we just make up our mind and tomorrow it just falls in your lap kind of thing. And unfortunately, social media has kind of led people to believe that just think about it and think positive and whatever, and all this will just work out for you. And to some degree, that's true, because I do believe at the end of the day, things work out. But
yep.
Same time, I really want you to speak to this. Look, it didn't happen overnight. It was a series of intentional small choices that nobody really saw you doing.
That's true. Yeah. And from my dad saying that statement to me actually living the end result of what I committed to change at that moment was a 5-year process.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't have to take 5 years for me. I stumbled, after he taught me that, and then even implementing it, I stumbled a little bit. And so I distilled a lot of that in a book that I wrote to kind of help people accelerate and shortcut that path if they choose. But the first thing I had to do was shine a light on all the things that I was doing. It's like, what was I doing for 90 hours a week? I had to get that down on paper.
Yeah.
I guess today you could probably just get it on AI and dictate into your phone. But right. At the time, I had to document everything that I was doing. Hold any judgment. I'm just like, write it down no matter what it is.
It's a cruel moment when we have to hold up the mirror, and we have to admit that, okay, look, what I've done is obviously produced these results so far, which isn't bad. You're making money. You're profitable. You're doing clearing 8-figure years. I mean, for a lot of people, that's like their dream. But to hold up the mirror and say, I don't like what I'm becoming, I mean, that's a big reality check.
That's it. And just to talk about one of my attendees just a couple of nights ago at my home at my dinner, a man came in, multiple 8 figures, reminded me of me, but his figure was actually quite higher. And he just said, doing great there, but my wife doesn't like me. My kids don't like me. I have no friends and I don't even understand what the purpose is of life. He said, I thought that chasing a few more millions would make me happier. I got it. I'm not happier. What do I do from here?
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more intense, even more intense than the moment that I had.
Totally.
But that's really out there right now. So yeah.
I think for a lot of people, though, when you think, I mean, it's 2026 and you think about how a lot of people live, it's not just chasing the new shiny object, and like, I got to one up the next person, which, let's be honest, that happens all the time. But it's also about, I think, filling a void inside of us. There's something that's missing, that's not serving us, that's not nurturing us. And so what do? We go over here to something that we're good at, and we just think, if I push a little bit harder, that I'll feel better. Because that's really what you've been talking about.
Exactly. And to go back, kind of like what kept me trapped, some of that seeking approval and getting validation for even purpose and existence in life.
We all do it.
Yeah. And at work, there's a P&L, in your business. And it's like, you can see when you're winning, or you can even see when you're not winning, but you're getting instant feedback on how should you engage and what you should do. At home, there is no P&L. It's just like, you have to like slow down and sort of almost like tune in. And I don't know about others, but I'll speak for myself. I just want, and you alluded to it earlier, I want the quick response, thank you, Amazon, for training us. I just want instant like feedback.
100%.
And then I'm going to bury my head in there because I get validation here. I know I'm at home. I have no idea. It's peaceful. It's quiet. I call that the drift. But I don't see what's going on there until one day it just snaps. But it sometimes it's just a quiet thing. It's not like some big roar.
Yeah.
So something a lot of founder dads need to be aware of.
Yeah. That's also about staying the course. And this is something I really want to talk about for a minute, because I feel like it just doesn't get enough attention. We hear all of this talk about, think about what levers to move in your business. Think about like what big changes to make. Okay, I get all that. But what nobody wants to talk about are the days when you're doing all the little things, but you're not seeing that big win. You're not seeing the big lever being pulled. You're not seeing the feedback that, you know what, this is working. I'm going to keep doing this. We have to be able to see it in our head first and feel it and hear before we're able to see any kind of constructive result out there. And that means staying the course. My coach calls that growing your emotional capacity, because you got to get in there and you got to do the reps. You've got to do the work, and you've got to do it when you're not seeing anything happen on the outside.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Yeah. Staying the course, being consistent, that can apply to everything. Yeah. From the business perspective to life, to home, to trying to bond with your family. One thing I tell a lot of founder dads, because I've been guilty of this, is, hey, I'll just take them on this massive luxury vacation and that'll make everything all right. And sure, they'll go on vacation, they'll enjoy it, but then you'll come back home and be like, yeah, nice vacation, but like, we need your presence consistently.
Totally.
And that's how you restore the bond with your family.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you can't take any of that with you. You know, it doesn't matter like how great a house you have or how many second homes you have or whatever. It's like none of that is going to matter when you're on your deathbed and you're with your loved ones for the very last day of your life, right?
Yeah. One thing that I say is that nobody's ever said, I'm so glad I blew your game for that client meeting on their deathbed. They won't even remember the name of the client at that day, but they will remember whether or not they made an effort to be at the games, the dances, the recitals, the graduations.
100%.
So just trying to bring awareness now before we get to those days and say, oh, darn, wish I would have done something.
So let's break this down. Last question. Let's just break this down very simply. I always like to ask my guests for very simple pieces, tidbits, like bite-sized nuggets, like little tips, pieces of advice. What do you say to people out there listening who are maybe on the brink of their own come to Jesus moment? And they're thinking, you know what? This shit is not working. You know, and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm not seeing any change yet. You know, what kind of helpful advice can you offer?
Yeah, I'd say you got to identify what are those things that you're doing that you know you shouldn't be doing. And I have a more formal structure for this. I call it a freedom audit, which is kind of like what I did when I first got my freedom back, is I had to highlight the things, everything that I was doing it, or everything that I was doing in my business. And then I had to run it through what I call the 10K per hour filter. Now, change 10K for whatever dollar value you give yourself per hour, and then double it, because we usually undervalue our time. And then take everything that you're doing and run it through that filter. And anything that doesn't add to that standard, you have to get that off your plate. And you have to implement what I call the time liberation trifecta, which are the three things you can do with anything you shouldn't do, which is one is eliminate anything that doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
Number two is automate anything that repeats. And number three is delegating the outcomes. And so I'd run it through that process. And that was the first step for me that got my freedom back and my time back. And I was able to restore my life, my whole family as a result.
Yeah. And I just think for people listening, it's important. I love what you said about developing a filter, because I have my own filter that I use when I'm trying to make a decision. It's like I just run it through the filter and I can tell by how I feel, you know, how it resonates with me in here. And I mean, I've gotten to where I can almost feel immediately that's a yes or that's a no. And I just think for people listening that are struggling to make changes, that know they need to do something different, maybe don't even know what that is yet, but you just know something has to change, that you want to be able to develop some type of framework and some types of something that works for you. So, but I love that, and you've referenced this several times, like just decide, do you feel that? Does it resonate with you? If you sit with that and you notice something, then I think that's all the feedback you need, that's something you need to look at.
Exactly. That's very well said.
I love it. I love it. So any parting words before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing that I try to highlight for my fellow founder dads, or just for anybody really, anybody alive, is that you can always make more money, but you can never redo a childhood.
Yeah.
And so that's so what
I
love to...
You can't get back your time that's lost either. You know, it's like time is a commodity and it's not a resource that's renewable. You know, we can't go back and make up for lost time. All we can do is decide what's going to happen with how we use time in the future, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Time's the only thing we can't recreate.
Yeah. Love it. Love that. How can people reach out to you? You mentioned you had a book. What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah. So I have a website called founderdadtables.com where they can learn more about some of my events in person and virtual. Like you said, I have a book. You can find more there. So that's the best place to go and sort of kind of just get into my world and explore.
I love it. So it's Founder Dads. What is your website?
Founderdadtables.com.
Founderdadtables.com. Awesome. I love it. Love the work that you're doing. Thanks so much for sharing your story and making some time to talk with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Allison. It was
fun. Yeah, of course. So all of you out there listening, especially you dads, if we really talked about a lot here, there's a lot in this episode. It might be one of those episodes you want to bookmark and go back and listen to again. And on that note, if you know anybody in your world who you think this episode would be helpful for, please feel free to copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me. Or you can write to me directly on my site, which is www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and write to me. We'll make sure that this gets sent to wherever you would like it to go. And on that note, it's August, and it is our 7th birthday on the air. We've been celebrating all month, and I am super excited and grateful that we are still here doing this podcasting thing, knowing that when we started out, we really didn't know what we were doing. I'm just going to be candid, but we knew that we had a message that we wanted to share. And, you know, that's really the best advice I can always give all of you, is that if you've got an idea in your heart and you've got something in your mind that you want to put out in the world, just go do it. You know, imperfect action is always much better than striving for it all to be perfect and for everything to be in the right spot. We're grateful for all of you, whether you're listening to me today for the first time or whether you're listening to me now for a repeated pattern. We do appreciate it. That's what I got for you this week on the show, folks. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.